Rabbi Sov. Good morning to you. How are we doing? You all right today?
Good.
You have breakfast yet?
No chance.
No chance.
I'm right at the beginning of davening.
I would have left it somewhere in there, but I'm too bad I've just finished it.
Mm-hmm.
It was good stuff. You would have enjoyed it. Maybe tomorrow. All incognitos apart from you and me.
I didn't hear.
Everybody's incognito apart from you and me.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
I don't know why Menashe doesn't like us seeing him. He's better looking than me.
Uh-huh.
There you are. I was too early today, right? Too eager.
No, things are perfect. Can't be better. I think that's what we've learned. Sivasana.
Morning, everybody. I'll just set the recording. Okay, we're good to go. Fine. So yesterday we saw the Bir Halacha. We've been impressing upon ourselves over the last few days. We don't understand it yet, but at least you know the fact that they laugh, even when that laugh's not doing anything. It's a bit of a chiddush. We generally evaluate our lives as the value of our lives based on our achievements, what we do, what we don't do. Halacha is not like that. The halacha values a Jewish would have to machal all the boss in order to anything. That's a Maridika. We also saw towards the end of yesterday that there's some Utpam. We don't understand what this means. Hopefully he said he's gonna deal with this as we go weiter in the Sefer. The idea that we somehow impact on Hashem. Matishin koyach gadol shel ma'ale, we can weaken the koyach of Hashem, we can strengthen Hashem, tnoeiz lelokim, things that seem to say that we have some impact on the way Hashem functions, whatever. We have to understand what that means, because obviously that sounds a bit incongruent with the Yud Gimel Ikore Imuna. Also, we saw that there's some aspect of giving to Hashem. There's something we can give to Hashem. So we have to see what that means. It's going to make it a little bit worse. See one more part of this puzzle in the Metz Hashem and Perik Gimel. We'll start getting some answers to some of the questions asked and new questions and raise new mysteries. So in the middle of Daf Nun, he says like this, Chazal Amru B'Rai B'Emena B'Midbo Pashas Pinchas, quite a satirical piece there. Al midas haChesed shel Avram Avinu. It's talking there about the Chesed, the mid of Chesed of Avram Avinu. We know that Avram Avinu was midas haChesed. So it says there, Ezu hu Chosid, who what's called a Chosid? What's the getter of a Chosid? It's talking about Avram Avinu. Zeshem is Chesed im Koinai. There's someone who does Chesed with Hashem. He does Chesed for Hashem. How do you do chesed for Hashem? How do you give it? Then Allah says, "Yemo chesed." We could tolu b'chasadeinu. Hashem needs my chesed. He's Nebuch. You know, he needs my chesed. What does it mean? This is Chazal talking. This is not later day Mefarshim. Zeshem is chesed im koinai. What does that mean? Chesed for Hashem. Od muvei v'divrei Rabbeinu Yisrael mefarnesim avinu sheshemayim. That's a Zohar, nonetheless. And it says that Klal Yisrael gives panosa to Hashem. V'ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarich panosa. First of all, Hashem doesn't need panosa. And even if he did need panosa, he doesn't need me to mefarnes him. What are you talking about? How can it be that Hashem's panosa, whatever that means, is in my hands? And he mefarnes his HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is Chazal. This is a Chazal's talking. Chazals we haven't seen before. We haven't been exposed to this before. But we see that this is Torah. This is what the Torah thinks. Just because we don't think that, and just because it's counterintuitive for us, just because it doesn't gel with our theorem. It's not true. We have to understand it. V'lo zu bilvad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu koseh v'aleinu b'toirosu v'magala lanu l'day nevi'a v'avod v'akadoshim l'shoynes shel chibe v'ava atzuma. More than that, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to us with unbelievable terms of endearment. Unbelievable l'shoynes of love and closeness and warmth. לולא מקרה שכוסף לא היינו מאזים אפילו בדמיוננו הרחוק ביוסל אלו, דברים אלו על דל ספוסנו. Had it not been that it was written in the Torah, we wouldn't, in the furthest dreams of our imagination, dredged up the kind of ozus chutzpah to be able to even say words like this. Well, that's what it says in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu machane otanu b'tor reyecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvedo atzmo, the creator of the universe, calls us reyecho. K'v'yochol anu nechshovim reyim shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For Hashem's friend. My friend. ושוב נעשה שאלה, ואם לא שייך כאן הביטו, מי עיקר חברוסה כלפי שמיים? זה expression in the חזל. ומי עיקר חברוסה כלפי שמיים? Is there somebody who's a חברוסה with שמיים? Can you be a friend of Hashem's man? But it says that Hashem calls us רעייךו. והנה, הקדוש ברוך הוא מכנה אותנו בונים. והוא גם מכנה אותנו איכויסי, ראיויסי, יונוסי, תמוסי. Ala bito temosi matwin. Hashem says to us, you matwin. So there Chazal say, kevyochol lo ani godol mimenu, velo hi gedoyle mimeni. What does it mean, twin? So Chazal say, what does it mean, twin? That lo ani godol mimenu, I'm not bigger than him. Okay, fine, that good, I got that. Velo hi gedoyle mimeni, but he's not bigger than me. Go fish day, what does it mean? ומוסיף עם חזל, תמוסי, כשני תאומים, two twins. מה התאומים אם עלו חשש האחד עזרי שהשני מרגיש? Anybody had twins, you know this to be true. If the one twin has a headache, the other one feels it. If the one is in pain, the one suffering, the other one cries. זה נושא של twins. And חזל tell us, that's what with us in Hashem. כך אם היה נויחי בצורה, Yelkut Shmoyni says, on Shira Shirim there, it says, that kach anoichi b'tzorah. When we're in trouble, Hashem feels our pain. Hashem's with us in Tzorah. So this is wild stuff, okay? Unbelievably wild, heretical, apikosis stuff. But it's Chazal. It's Psukim. Mamani aseh. We have to understand, how does this work? What does this mean? Knesset Zal Nikras Kolosah Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also called the bride, the wife of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. וכיצד ניתן להבין זויס, וקדוש ברוך הוא צריך איסונו כמו שבעל צריך את אשתו, השם needs a wife, we are Hashem's wife, השם has that kind of relationship, like a husband and a wife relationship, מה היפס? וקדוש ברוך הוא מחשיב אותנו כשותפים במעשה בראשית, וקשה, we know that if you say ויחולו, it's a nice כשותף במעשה בראשית, other places as well, as our lotion, we become שותפים with הקדוש ברוך הוא. So there's a big kasha here, v'ki hu tzarich shutfim. What does he need a partner for? Bola meinu anu baal eisek lokeach shutf raka shehu einu musuga levade lachzik et eisek. Which idiot takes on a partner if he can manage on his own? Yeah, ask the lawyers. I'll tell you, they make a lot of money out of partnerships that started off very nice and friendly, but most of them don't end up that way. Partnerships are not lechatchila. Partnership in here, but if you can't manage on your own, you need financing. Need expertise, you take somebody in as a partner, but if you can manage on your own, you go on your own. Well, why would you have a partner? So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzarich shutef? What does he need us for? He can't make the bria on his own. Chaseh, shem. You know? Why do we become shutfim b'maisa b'reishis? He can't mistadeh without us? V'zois v'oid, keitzad yitochen sh'anu hoifchim l'shutfim. So how do we become partners? Even if, I mean, Chas v'chelim, but even if Hashem needs a partner, how do we become partners? A Jew gets up on Friday night, he holds a cup of wine in his hand, and he says, v'yichulu, he makes kiddush, v'al-yedei kach, hu na'aseh shutef v'maaseh breishis. How does that happen? You made kiddush. So now you become a partner in Microsoft, you know, love deal, elef love dollars, you know, you give Bill Gates, whatever, I don't know who's in charge anymore, whatever, you give him $50 and now you become a 50-50 partner in Microsoft. I mean, what are you talking about? Never mind $50, you give him 5 cents. You say kiddish, now you're a pshutaf in kumai sabreishis. So we see here that there's a whole range of ideas, of concepts, rooted in Torah, which not just that we don't understand it, but it goes against everything we have understood before. I need to understand this because we need to, we're trying to find out who we are. We want to find out where, who we really are. So let's take one more step. Yeah, these are peladika things. I mean, if you would stop now, you would live the rest of your life being absolutely confused about who you are and what your relationship with Hashem is and who Hashem is. You come to me if you've got a problem, I'll take care of it. You know, you've got a panosa problem, you come to me, I'll help you out with panosa. I mean, there's a lot of, it's psychiatric stuff that's not normal. So fine. So let's go into Perek Gimel and let's see if we can make some progress here. I hope everybody is completely shocked, stunned, and amazed, because you should be, because this is Torah, and the Torah seems to be saying things that are law, bichlal law, law, law normali, law, law, law higyoni. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So this chapter is called Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. We're going to see this is a central theme that runs through the whole idea. Yeah? We'll keep coming back to this. And it's going to answer most of our questions, but it needs to be threshed out. Obviously, it's not that simple. He says like this: "Atshuva lekol ha'shailos halalu kluda b'mishpat echad." The answer to all these questions we have, and you'll see, it's not an answer because the answer itself has to be unraveled. But in one sentence, the answer to all these questions: "Kluda b'divra mishnah." Again, it's a mishnah. It's not just some divrei kabbalah. This is a mishnah. Chayv Adam Loime Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Chayv Adam Loime, very interesting. It doesn't just say you need to know it. You chayv, you have a chiv to say it. Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Should just say, you should know that for you, the world is created for you. You should know that. No, you have to say it and you chayv to say it. Kol Ha'olam Kuloi, Hashemayim Va'ar, it's a Mishnah, by the way. That means it's a din in the Torah, this. Chayv Adam Loime Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. Kol Ha'olam Kuloi, Hashemayim Va'ar, everything. When we say everything, we mean everything. We mean everything in the whole of Ma'aseh Bereishis. The entire gamut of the Bereishis, from the top of the heavens to the bottom of the deep times. Everything, every molecule, every cell, every subatomic particle, every planet, everything in the world, every person that ever lived and will live, all those neshamas, akol, 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 from the base in Ma'aseh Bereishis, akol bishvili. Akol bishvili. What does that mean? And then because there's you, and then what are you doing on my road? What are you doing in my neighborhood? And what are you doing? What does it mean? Bishvil kol yochid v'yochid. Each yochid has this chiyuv. He has to know it because it's true, obviously, that the entire world, nivra yesh mi'ayin, for me. Okay, so obviously that has major ramifications, and we have to understand what that means. What does it mean, bishvili nivra ilam? First of all, we can understand why there's no doichin nefesh mipnei nefesh. Because each person is an entire world on his own. Even if he's in a state of vegetable, he's in a coma, and he doesn't do anything. He's also bishvili nivra ha'olam. The whole world could get lost. He's a whole world. He's a olam shalem, and the whole world was created for him. So you can't say, "Well, we'll do that nefesh for that nefesh." They're both olamos. They're both olam shalem. You can't wipe out one world for another one. When I'm against the kviyazu. We have to go a bit deeper because how can we understand? How do we begin to understand according to our ability, our value system, that each yid is an entire world, and that the entire universe, but I mean the entire cosmic. Wow, the enormous, bordering on the infinite universe, because it's not infinite, but it's pretty, it's massive. Everything, the entire complexity of this unbelievable world is created and there and is kedai, Hashem would keep it running for one person, for each individual yid. How do you understand that? So now we understand why did Hashem create the world. Ma hi mataras habria. Ma ratza kolish bochul asid kviyocho. What did Hashem hope to achieve here? What did he? Hashem created the world. He had something in mind. It's not like us. We sort of like shoot in the air and hope for the best. If Hashem created the world, he has a tochnit. He has a plan. He has a goal. He's heading somewhere. This was done with you know, all about machshava. Hashem did this with machshava. He had a goal. Amar ratza kolish bochul asid kviyocho b'briya solomoy. Midirei chazal. We see from what we've seen up to now, the chazals we've seen, that it seems that one individual person can could be that the whole world is, you know, all the billions of people that have been walking around here, whatever, it could be they're not going to make it in the end. And for one person, it could be the same as Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Meshach Chochma points out, others, that it was for two people essentially. There were two Yidden that came out of, men we're talking about, that came out of Mitzrayim that made it into Eretz Yisrael. Two. Yeshua and Caleb. No one else made it. He says it could be Mashiach also will also only come for two people. We have to understand what that means. I'm not going into that. But we see, yeah, even more, that Bishvilin Nevra Olam means that it could be quite possible that the entire world is Kedai for one Yid. That means the purpose of the Bria, the reason why Hashem created the Bria, can be fulfilled through one person, and that's it. It's enough. That's unbelievable. And he's a whole world, and then therefore the world was created for him. The Mishnah says this. That Mishnah in Perek Dalet, the Sanhedrin, says like this: Lefichoch nivra ha'odem yechidi. Therefore, a person was created yechidi. Yechidi. Lelamdecho. But nefesh achas Israel malav akosav kili. But I don't know. Whoever wipes out one Jewish life, it's as if you wiped out the whole world, entire universe. Whoever maintains and keeps a yid alive, it's like he kept the whole universe alive. Adam Arishon Nivra Yechidi. Adam Arishon was created alone, one. B'mtzuyosu bilvad yechol yisir lihismamesh kol tachlis abriya. He alone fulfilled the entire Bria with Chava, but he was created with Adam was created with everything in him. So the entire tachlis of the Bria, had he not eaten from Eitz HaDaas, the Kodesh Baruch Hu lo borei Yosi mi'olam echad. He only created one man. Lelamdeinu shebe'odam echad dai kedei lamamesh is called tachlis Bria. To know that the entire tachlis of the Bria can come about through one splintered and he shattered, and now there's all these neshamas floating around called you and me and the next guy. And yeah, but that wholeness that we had as part of Adam Rishon, each person has now himself. And I'll show you that it's not just philosophical and Kabbalistic or whatever, biologically I can prove it to you if you want. Some of you have heard this before. The most fascinating thing in the Bria. Unbelievable. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Okay, if this doesn't move you, I'm telling you now, there's absolutely nothing will move you. You completely, you lost. You got no chance. Absolutely, if this doesn't excite you, I'm telling you now, nothing will. I'll show you that this is mamish true. You can look at this under the microscope. You'll see that it's true. You know that a child, the way the baby forms in the womb, is it starts with one cell, yeah, and then that cell splits into two. And then into four, and then into eight, and then into 16. Yeah. Now, you know, when the cell splits into two, you have one cell, now it splits into two. You don't have two halves. You don't have two halves. One cell is not the upper part of the body, and one cell is the bottom half of the body. And then it splits into four, and then it becomes the right hand, the left hand. It's not like that. If you look on the microscope, you'll see that each of those cells contains the entire pattern for the entire child. When it splits into four, all four of those cells have the entire pattern for the entire child, contains everything. And as it splits more and more and more and starts forming into what looks like a fetus, okay, each one of those cells has everything that you need. That's unbelievable. I'll tell you what's unbelievable, because at some point, the ears grow into ears and the nose grows into a nose and the nose doesn't become a foot and the eyes don't become an elbow. But they're all there. It's all there. The cell that's making up your ear could have made a toe as well. It could have made a heart. It could have made... I mean, it's good news that your nose knew to be a nose and not a foot. I mean, because that would be quite funny if you were walking out with a foot on your nose, we're supposed to be. Yeah? But that's what happens. The one cell of a human being contains the entire universal experience, contains everything. That's a basic axiom of Torah, that everything contains everything. But you see it, mamash, at the cellular level. If you knew how you could take one cell and you could recreate Bebchik, I don't know why we would want to inflict the world with another one, but if you could do that, because one cell from Baruch contains the entire Baruch. And by the way, nobody knows. Nobody knows why and how the ear knows to become an ear and the nose knows to become a nose. Nobody knows how that happens. It just starts happening in the womb. And that's not just for humans, that's for every creature. At some point, those cells know what they need to do. But nobody knows how that works. I mean, that's astounding. That's unbelievable. That's mind-boggling. Unbelievably mind-boggling. But that's what we're saying here. You're Oila Mole. I'll go even further. The Mekubalim said that if you could take one human cell, not only could you recreate Baruch, but you could recreate the entire universal experience because everything contains everything. The advanced mathematicians and astrophysicists and whatever are starting to see this as well. The Eastern mystics for sure talk about this and the Torah, it's a double posture to us. Everything contains everything. That's one of the understandings of Kol Yisrael Ravim Zemze. That's how we're all part of one whole, we hold one whole entity, because we contain the entire experience. I told you that doesn't shake you up, nothing, proshut. There's nothing and there's no hope for you left anymore. You're Moiridik. Unbelievable that those cells have in them, and the cell's a tiny little thing. It's not a, yeah, in there is everything that ever was and ever will be. Okay, so that's big, you know, whatever. You could make science fiction movies out of that idea as well if you want one day, if you're interested in that kind of stuff. But just biologically, you see this. This Mishnah in Sanhedrin, you see that's how the world's put together. That's the physical metzias of the Bria. Is that each person, everyone, each person, each cell in a person is an Oila Mole. Okay, a cell on its own that's just sitting there in a. Huh?
Sorry, is that what Shlomo Melech meant when he said there's nothing new under the sun? Is that what he was talking about?
Don't know.
That's question one. And question two is, if that cell, I remember the last time we learned this, I was very troubled by this. I mean, it's amazing. But if that cell, once that cell turns into an ear, converts itself into an ear cell, does it still have within it the ability to recreate everything, or has it transformed at that point?
100%. Everything's there.
Everything's still there.
All there. Yeah, just everything else is dormant, and ear is what's shining bright. But everything's still there. You could take the cell out of the ear, and you could grow a toe. If you knew how, I'm saying practically, I wouldn't know how you do that. I don't know, maybe the Chinese already have worked out how you do that, you know? You grow little Chinese. I don't know why they would need more, but why would they want to clone? There are already a billion clones out there already. But I'm saying, yeah, if they've worked out how to do that, yeah, you could take the ear, and you could grow... You could grow another whole you, because everything is still there. It doesn't disappear. The cell continues to contain everything. But Tetz told me he was speaking to, I don't know if the guy was Jewish or not, maybe he was, one of these advanced, scientific mathematicians, one of these genius types, whatever. And this guy had come to the conclusion, which was Tetz said every six-year-old in Cheder knows, but this guy spent his whole life, you know, working out to come to this conclusion that, since everything contains everything, this is mind-boggling, by the way, since everything contains everything, and we see that there is consciousness in the world, I mean, if I have consciousness, that means everything in the world has to have some consciousness. That means even the doimim, even stones and rocks and things that we call doimim, at some level in there, there's a consciousness. It has to be, because everything contains everything. And since you see consciousness in one part of the Bria, there must be consciousness in everywhere in the Bria. That's a Dover Parshut, because that stone can't exist unless there's a spark of Hashem, of Kedusha in that thing. The stone doesn't just—it's a daima. I mean, a chiddush flying around in there. It's unbelievable consciousness. It's not just random, but there's a consciousness to that. So that's this guy came to this conclusion that morning. You know, that's called Einod Milvore for sure. That's the first mitzvah that a Jew needs to know. And Imam Ben Shlaim Shabbos Boshu Boiru Manig Lekol. So that's a consciousness of the Bria, Hashem. Okay, interesting. No, fine, that's just an aside. That's not business. But I'm just showing you this Bishvil Ivra Oilam, that each Jew is an Oilam Mole. Never mind, each Jew is an Oilam Mole. Each cell is an Oilam Mole. And why you grew into a Bebchik and I grew into a Shur, and why no one knows why the hell that happens. They got words for it. It's called genetics, and it's called, but it's Mavulva, right? Poshut, no? Okay. Fine. If you find out how that happens, by the way, you could make a lot of money, you know. You'd probably win the Nobel Prize for biology or whatever, because no, they haven't got a clue. How did they explain that away? How does evolution explain away that phenomena? I mean, that's just like that's... Darwin himself apparently said that the human eye disproves his entire theory, because there's no ways that something like that can evolve. It's too complex. There's too many things that need to happen before, so he himself admitted that. So anyway, okay. So that's Bishvili Nivra Oilam, and the kunst of Bishvili Nivra Oilam is that everybody is an Oilam Mole, and that the entire universal experience is Kedai for one person. Now, obviously, Hashem doesn't just want it for one person. Hashem wants the entire Sefer Torah, all 600,000 pieces of that neshama, whatever that means, the 600,000 letters in the Torah. Obviously, Hashem wants everything to come on board. Each yid is a piece of the bigger picture. But we need to know that it would be possible and kedai, even just one Jew, to create the entire universal experience. Maybe what Hashem was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll wipe out all of Klal Yisrael again just from you. You know, when Hashem wanted to wipe out Klal Yisrael, and Moshe begged and said, no. And so we see that's an unbelievable insight, an unbelievable idea, a facet of Bishvili Nivra Olam. Okay, let's take a little tweeny step forward and then we'll stop. Let's take one step forward now. My Tachlis HaBria, that's the next question we're going to be dealing with here. In order to discover who I am and how it is that the whole Tachlis of the Bria can be fulfilled through me, I need to know what the Tachlis of the Bria is. This is very important. This is the Yosoda Yosodas of the entire Sefer, the entire Torah. Is Ketzad hi yicholit mamesh al yaday kol yochid v'yochid. And how is it possible that the entire Tachlis of the Bria can come about just through one person? You know what? I'm going to stop here because there's a whole level of pieces here that need to be put into place. I think we'll start tomorrow with that. To answer some of the questions about being back in the Beis Midrash, I was really planning on being back in the Beis Midrash tomorrow. For those who are interested, there's a bit of a hitch. There's a bit of a hitch. I'm trying to work it out. No one's really clear what the law is. In other words, are you allowed to be sitting and learning in the Beis Midrash? It's not clear. If we just get a simple yes or no, it would be fine. So my understanding is that if nobody says it and nobody done anything, the police are not looking for trouble. It means if the cops would come past and see us seeing learning and we're doing it responsibly, they're not going to do anything. The problem is if somebody complains, if somebody reports, then the cops have to do something. And then if they come in there, then everybody's in for a massive fine. Shapiro's in for a massive fine. They have to. They can't just turn a blind eye because somebody reported it. So there's a concern about that. And I'm busy consulting with whatever, the Rabbonim in Beit Shemesh, the Rabbonim in speaking to a Godel, yeah, that I'm speaking to, and trying to see exactly what we're going to do. and what's happening. So in the meantime, until you hear anything, we're going to carry on like this. But if there's a change and we're going to be back tomorrow, then an email will go out discussing what's going to be happening tomorrow. This said a gomo. Unless somebody wants to take a class for the knas. It's not only the knas, it's also if the neighbors are, you know, there's I don't know. We have to see. I know for Kim yesterday, the Iriya gave the Koilalim and Ishur to start, kapsulot, whatever, and then the cops came and gave them a big fine. So they said the Iriya doesn't have rishus to open shuls. And the Iriya says, we're the only ones that have a rishus. The shuls are under the Iriya. These right up Nib. They look Ashur to the Mishra. There's a whole vikur going. They're trying to get the fines canned. But that's Israel, you know. So it's, you have 9 million prime ministers and everybody is in charge. So anyway, that's the story. At the moment, we don't know what's going on, which is good because nobody knows what's going on. There's no real clarity. We spoke to Pekuda Oref. They haven't got a clue. They don't know. Just kind of do whatever you want and don't get caught. That was kind of like their attitude. But it's not so simple and we have to be careful. So we'll keep you posted for further developments. The Seder. Take good care. Unless somebody wants to put down the money for the fines. You know, if somebody wants to put down, I don't know, 20,000 shekels and then we can, if there's fines to pay, we'll pay it out of that coupon. If not, then we'll donate it to the someone's retirement fund or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Beseda, I got to run. Take good care, boys. Have a good day.
Thank you.